Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the Solemnity of the Epiphany, and the readings are from Cycle B.
I have a secret to tell you. Now, maybe that declaration gets most of your attention, but before I tell my secret, let me ask you a question. How many of you felt short of accomplishing most of your resolutions that you set for yourselves for 2017 as it was just getting underway? I know that if I'd accomplished even a fraction of what I'd resolved, I'd be a better golfer, a more organized executive, and surely a more capable preacher. However, realizing how many of you just raised your hands in answer to my question, I'd say that it's reassuring to know that I'm not so imperfect after all. But let me get back to the secret I wanted to share with you. Here it is. Over the years, as I've listened to today's gospel passage about Herod, the wise men and the star guiding them, and the gold, frankincense, and myrrh they offered in homage to Jesus. Well, let's just say that all those details leave me somewhat emotionally and spiritually unmoved. Actually, pretty underwhelmed. Now, don't get me wrong. The Christmas story is one of the greatest stories ever told. It chronicles a birth from which the world ever since has recorded time before and after. Its details have seized the imagination of generations, both believers and non-believers alike. Matthew's account of Jesus' birth recounts how different people and groups reacted to the event. For example, he contrasts the response of the wise men who searched for and brought gifts to the new infant king, and Herod, who was intent on killing him. It's all quite dramatic, isn't it? But quite honestly, over the years, I haven't found these details to be all that helpful. Until, that is, a number of years ago, when I heeded the advice of a wise old monk by the name of Father Bruno. "John," he said, "this story isn't meant to be a travelogue from the National Geographic. Rather, Matthew's story foreshadows the fact that these magi, Gentiles one and all, should be seen as part of the larger Christian community of Matthew's day. But not only in the evangelist's time, also in ours today. You've seen a star, haven't you? You've seen a child also. Perhaps not in the same way as the magi saw the star and the child, for they were looking with the eyes of flesh. However, you and I look with the eyes of faith. The magi's journey is also our journey here and now." So taking Father Bruno's advice, I began to reflect back on the weeks of Advent and on the more recent Christmas season. The readings during this period have been about light overcoming darkness. They've challenged each of us to wake up and to begin to appreciate just what's going on in the world. They've worked together to help us to discover what our lives as Christians are meant to be. Over time, I realized that the entire season, from Advent through Christmas and up through today's Feast of the Epiphany, contains this challenge for each of us. Let's make some changes in our attitudes and practices that may help create a more seamless connection between us and the message of Christmas. Now, bear with me for a moment as I suggest to call this response changing habits of the heart rather than New Year's resolutions. Likewise, these are habits of the heart that I have in mind. 1, prayer. 2, a vocabulary of faith. And 3, acting justly. Let's start with the first. What relationship exists between prayer and today's Feast of the Epiphany? Having an epiphany usually suggests high drama and excitement. We ask ourselves, shouldn't fireworks and special effects be part of the picture here? Images come to mind of Moses parting the Red Sea, or St. Paul being blinded by a light and falling to the ground, as depicted in Caravaggio's painting. These images notwithstanding, we need to think about epiphanies in a somewhat different way. A recent issue of the Stanford Daily carried an article titled, "Staying in the Present, a Gift to Yourself." The piece was a wonderful example of a modern-day epiphany. The author, a woman by the name of Amanda, wrote about the challenge of needing to be in two places at once. What did she mean exactly? Trying to be aware of the beauty found on this campus and the people that she met on the way to class versus the upcoming discussion or problem set in class. Now, another personal example of this that I know of is a student who, while biking to class, was so distracted by the conversation she was having that she ran into a parking sign. Thankfully, she was more shaken up than hurt. Now, I don't know about Amanda's religious beliefs, but I do appreciate her focus on staying in the present. And just like Amanda, my epiphanies are not dramatic. Rather, most slide by unnoticed. If you're anything like me, prayer can help you become aware of something that was probably there all along. It can open our eyes to the fact that maybe we've misunderstood someone or treated them harshly. It shows us that we need to make amends. I have this kind of epiphany all the time. Isn't one dimension of prayer the simple act of mindfully reflecting on God's action in the world in the present moment? This type of prayer leads to all sorts of epiphanies. It makes us better able to notice those bits of grace that are falling down on our heads each and every day. The second habit of the heart I want to mention is the use of the vocabulary of faith, the words we use to characterize our Christian journey. We live in a world of excess. Examples of this excess can be seen at every turn. Yet, we also live in a world of hard-earned wisdom. I'm convinced that our secular world is not some irrelevant plaything tossed into space by a whimsical God, but rather an arena in which the reality and intentions of God are disclosed and made more accessible to you and me. So let's use a vocabulary of faith to talk about it that way, with words like mission, discernment, virtue, and discipleship. For you and I are called to wrestle with God's action in our world just as our ancestors did. Rather than think that we live in a 21st century cocoon, let's ask how we can develop a religious vocabulary that reflects the fact that we're part of a life stream fed by generations of men and women who struggled with angels and demons to gain wisdom. For example, our active participation in this liturgy is one way where we fuse secular talk with God talk. We also encounter God in the daily readings from Scripture, which are available online and for free in various places, including on the U.S. Catholic Bishop's website. And here at the start of a new quarter, you might also consider participating in one of the Encounter Christ small groups, whether as a student or as a community member. The third habit of the heart worth bearing in mind is acting justly. For how can you or I proclaim the epiphany, the manifestation of the child Jesus, if at the same time we're not passionately advocating on behalf of the children in our world, as well as their mothers and fathers? For nearly half a century now, the Catholic Church in the United States has observed National Migration Week, beginning today, by challenging each of us to reflect on the circumstances confronting migrants, including immigrants, refugees, children, and victims and survivors of human trafficking. God will hardly be manifest if we're not also speaking out on behalf of those children who are hungry, homeless, and powerless. Can you imagine how much richer and more meaningful our lives would be if we were to cultivate these habits at school, work, home, on the computer, out in nature? Does the practice of these habits of the heart, prayer, a vocabulary of faith, acting justly, appear to be a tall order? While the thought of endless conversion can be disheartening, we know from Scripture and from our own experience that the God who shines light in the world is a loving, redeeming, consoling God. That God will give us the power to respond. For after all, that God is, in a word, a Savior.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.